Hey everybody, this is Daryl with AfterBuzz TV. I was recently looking to buy a car and thought to myself, there has to be a better way. It's such a stressful process. That's when my friend told me about a new way to buy a car. It's called TrueCar.com. At TrueCar.com, you can actually see what others pay for the car you're looking for in your area, so you know when you're getting a great price. Because at TrueCar.com, you get a savings certificate, and you just take that savings certificate to a TrueCar.com certified dealer, so you don't need to worry about the hassle and anxiety of the old way to buy a car. And TrueCar.com users save an average of $3,000 off the MSRP. So seriously, if you're ready to buy a car, why wouldn't you go to TrueCar.com? Negotiation-free guaranteed savings, a hassle-free experience, and a TrueCar certified dealer that is committed to a new and better way to buy a car. Come on, save time, save money, and never overpay. Visit TrueCar.com today.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good, Gene Johnson. The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Justified After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Justified After Show.
And welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us for another AfterBuzz TV After Show for Justified, the Season 5 finale. I'm John Comerford, joined in the studio by Tamara Bird.
Hey, everybody.
Steve Bottomley.
Hi.
Matt Lieberman.
Hello.
And on the guest couch, our very special guest star, Jesse Lucan.
Hello, yay. Hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
You look much improved since the last time we've seen you. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. Clean bill of health.
That's good. Awesome. You know, when we saw you being zipped into the body bag, I didn't think that you would ever see you alive, but it's good to see you back.
Hey, man, it's great to be back. It's great to be out of that body bag. Right, so,
we'll be talking about the show. You'll be chiming in from time to time, and then afterwards we'll talk specifically to you about your experience on the show, what else you got going on, your other show on CW right now.
Absolutely.
Star-Crossed as well.
Star-Crossed.
So let's get into this particular, season finale. We've wrapped up a lot of things, but more importantly, we set up the whole arc for the final season, I would say.
I'm so excited. this season, it's still a great show, but it's been a muted affair. It was a quieter Indeed. Season than we've had in the past, but it's put us in this position to have what feels like the story Graham Yost has wanted to tell since the first season.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
Well, I think he's bookending it with the two guys.
Yeah.
Boyd.
But also getting back into the Ava Raylan relationship, opening that back up. There's just a lot of exciting things going on, and we got some major reveals from Raylan himself about his own character and his first kill, you know, talking about the arc of violence and his relation to it over the course of the series. To see that now opens up the possibilities for a very exciting discussion and a dissection of his character in the final season.
And also speaks to what Winona says, which we've talked about many times before, about how why he's the angriest man she knows.
Because
you can see what he came out of, especially because of Arlo. But I wanted to specifically start out with Jimmy. Because obviously you're sitting right here with us. We have to talk about your untimely demise.
Poor Jimmy.
Yeah.
Well, I'll say that it was not as untimely as I had been expecting when I got introduced on the show.
Yeah. Right. What did you think when you first got hired?
Oh, I thought I was dead in two episodes.
Because you came on the show in season three.
Season
is that
three,
right?
Yeah, okay. Beginning of three. Mm-hmm. And I was introduced with another character, and that guy got killed in the next one. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I just won a coin flip or what happened.
but they never talked to you about why?
About why they kept you?
We liked what you did.
Oh, no.
Kept getting called back saying, okay.
Yeah, I'm eternally grateful to this show because it's the show that really kind of gave me a career and opened up a ton of doors for me. And at the time that I booked it, I was so off the boat and green and everything like that it was just like, I'm grateful for anything.
Right.
You know, I'll mop the floors or something after everyone's done.
Right.
And I'm guessing if you had known the show, you were likely to think that, oh, well, I'm not long for this show. They'll kill everybody off.
So, yeah, okay, so that's one avoids henchmen, a tertiary henchman at best.
Did you have a name?
Yeah, I had a name. Well, the first... So the first audition that I went in for was a character that got killed in the first episode of season three. It was a pizza delivery guy. And I was born in Cincinnati, and I've spent some time in Kentucky.
Very close
and
to so, Kentucky.
Yeah, right across the river. And we go to Kentucky every year, Carrollton, Kentucky. And I went into this audition and just totally laid it on with the BS. Like, I'm from Kentucky. You know, it was the deepest, most over-the-top accent and just played like that was that was the guy that I am. And I, you know, I was lying to the casting director, Cammie Patton, and I love her, and now she knows and everything. But it was like, I just did, you know, when you're starting out, you do whatever you can to book the job. And so I laid it, you know, I was like, yes, ma'am, I'm from a little town, Carrollton, Kentucky. It's the frog capital of the world, 2,500 people, one stoplight. My family loves the show so much. Everybody in Kentucky loves the show, you know, just laying it on.
Right.
And I got a call. I was on hold for that role, and then I got a call later that said, you're not going to get that because they've got a role coming down the pike, and you're so authentic. They want to keep you for that.
Nice.
Lying works.
It is the one job. And my mom was like, don't you think you're going to get in trouble? I was like, no, I think that people will go, you were acting.
Yeah, exactly.
It is the one job where you know, lying in an interview is probably a good thing. Or acting. So, no, I had no idea. And I, you know, it's just, I knew eventually I was leaving in a body bag. And
yeah, you did, but you didn't think it was going to be two seasons later, right?
Didn't think it was going to be two seasons later. I definitely thought I was getting killed in the beginning of the season because StarCrossed was filming at the same time, and there was a whole big, like, back and forth.
And you guys had to work out schedules.
Schedules, and Graham kind of said, you know, if you're going to do that, there's a good chance you're not going to be around. And I said, look, I love you guys, and I appreciate everything, and you know, I pray we can work it out as best we can. And he was wonderful.
Yeah.
And kept me around all season. So
when did you get a name, though? I mean, the first script, you didn't have a name, right?
The first script, there was a name.
There was a name. Okay.
It was Jimmy.
Jimmy and Rip.
Okay.
Rip was the other guy.
All right.
Yeah.
Because you always know, you never know if you're coming back if you don't have a name.
You had mentioned this before we went up. That was when there was a showdown.
Yeah, it was a showdown. It kept growing. So it was Boyd, and that was Devil and Arlo.
Mm-hmm.
Came into the bar with Boyd to try to take Johnny's bar back.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny's the guy who was there that owned the bar had two henchmen that were kind of hiding amongst the bar patrons. Mm-hmm. They drew guns on Devil and Arlo. Then Boyd had his big cool moment reveal and said, "Well, have you met my friends?" And then it was me and Rip, and we pulled guns on them. So it was six guys with guns all on each other, and that's the
and
way
you were there thinking, "I've got this gig, this one day gig, and I'm going to pull a gun and."
Yeah.
Little did you know.
And then all of a sudden they said, hey,
you're crying.
Come back next week.
Your head.
Come back.
Now, can I ask you, since did you ever think about, did you ever come up with a backstory? Did you ever talk to Walton or to the creators? Or, like, how did I wind up with this guy? Who am I?
Yeah, I did a little bit with one of the writers. There actually was a great scene one time that got cut, which was too bad. But it was Boyd and Jimmy talking about robbing a bank, and Jimmy, you know, who doesn't say much, just kind of sitting there asking, like, with all this knowledge about robbing banks.
Mm-hmm.
And then Boyd was like, shit, man, how many banks have you robbed? And Jimmy goes, I don't know, six. And he's like, six? And so we talked about it there and just kind of like, the way that Boyd, you know, he did it with Devil, he did it to a lesser extent with Johnny, it just kind of picks up wayward souls that are looking for guidance or for a mentor in some way.
Yeah, exactly, a place to work, fit in.
Yeah,
that kind of thing.
Yeah,
they're
absolutely.
All kind of like that. So,
can we talk about your death scene?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to get to next.
Yeah.
So, technical stuff,
Steve,
as well.
I pass it off to you because you love the squibs so darn much. I'm sure you've got 15 squib questions.
Were you excited? Yeah. You got to see everyone else that, you know, would come on get layered up with squibs.
Yeah.
Where he was like, I get mine. I finally get my squib. Oh,
well, I would say that, it was a tough day. I mean, it was like 6 hours,
wrapped up in tape.
Wrapped up in tape.
For six
then
hours.
Crying. The thing, crying. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
When you're crying, you got to keep it at this, like, level up here because you don't want to go too high and just wait, you know, burn out, and then all of a sudden you're like, shit, I can't do it.
But you have to stay in that place all day.
Yeah, you have to stay in that. You have to stay at the.
By the way, was that your choice or was that scripted?
That was my choice.
It was, okay.
Yeah, actually. I kind of thought that it was just like. The scene called for there is no hope.
Yeah,
there is no hope for either of us.
Yeah.
And I think when Boyd walks in, I think Jimmy thinks, you know, we're both dead.
Mm-hmm.
And this is it. And I'm sorry. for.
Yeah, see, that's what I was wondering. Was it not only I'm going to die, but I let you down?
Yeah.
That's what I got. Like, that's what it felt like to me. Was that what you were going for?
So thank you.
It worked.
You know, and I guess, yeah. It was really refreshing to see that, because everyone in the show and in these types of shows, they go to their death, you know, bring it.
Kicking and screaming. Yeah.
Or, you know, this is, I'm
fighting,
ready.
Fighting, chest out.
You don't get to see the guy just going, this sucks.
Yeah.
And you see everything you're not going to get to do. You see everything that, you know, this. Mm-hmm. And to have to sit there and think about that.
Well, and I think, the entire time that Boyd's coming and Jimmy's getting beat by this cartel. And, you know, the other thing is Jimmy's kind of a kid.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of a young, dumb kid that don't know any better other than follow this guy.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So I mean, and you also think about, in any instance, you think about yourself in a situation, it's like, oh, I'm going to die in a little bit. I would probably be crying.
Yeah.
Especially if you know about it for quite a while.
So two technical questions in terms of the acting.
Yes.
How did you get there? Was it all sense memory, or did you pull any tricks? How did the tears flow?
It's a weird thing, and I can only describe it as you need to get yourself in a place where you are feeling like overwhelmed at all times. And I was helped out by the fact that it was the last day.
Well, that's why I was wondering if you were going to use that, because you're leaving.
Because I was leaving, yeah. And I was saying goodbye to everybody. Exactly. And so it was a genuine sadness of saying goodbye. And we actually shot that on the last day of the whole season of everybody.
Oh, wow.
So everybody was saying goodbye to everybody, and it was this, you know.
So that's great. You're already, the pump's already primed.
Well, wait a minute. Yeah. You were generally sad to say goodbye to the cartel guys.
Those guys, they were sweet guys. Yeah. They were very nice. And I had, you know, the week before, when he, in episode 12, when Jimmy is on the line with Boyd, and he just says, and he kind of sets him up that he has to come in, and I was able to pump a tear or two out there too.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I don't know. You watch like sad YouTube videos beforehand.
Absolutely. You
just,
get
like whatever gets you emotionally.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just kind of do that, and then you're in that like mode all day. And then you're also a crazy actor, because a couple of producers said they were going to come and say goodbye. Like we had the rap party the week before, and I said, I'm sorry if I am insane that day. And you're just like, what happened to Jesse? Because you're just like, you sit there in a corner and you know, you're like, oh yeah, hi.
Because you got to be able to access it. Yeah.
So but Walton is the king of like, if you walked on set and didn't know what was going on, you'd be like, that's an insane person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, keep him away from me. Because the way he preps for scenes is he kind of is in a corner cussing loudly, you know, screaming at things. And I mean, it's brilliant and it works wonders for him.
Obviously.
And I kind of took cues from that, I think, you know, because my first gig.
Yeah, nice. That's a good personal
I called it acting school. It was like a three-year free acting school.
That was the first gig.
Uh-huh.
Damn.
Yeah.
The other technical thing I wanted to do was specifically about the squib. They set you up, obviously it was under the duct tape, so I'm sure that...
Yeah, it's under the duct tape, and then it's like an ace bandage that's on top of it.
Were you prepped for it when it happened? Did you do a practice one, or did you?
Oh, no. Yeah, because it blows up a bunch of blood.
Right,
thing. Yeah, no, they just go. It smarts a little bit. It's kind of like a jab of the thing. And then they do it again.
But did anybody prep you for that? Did they say, okay, you're going to feel this, or did you not know?
Well, yeah, our stunt guy, Ben, he's like. He's just this wonderful, wonderful guy that's been in the business for 40 years and just like a tough cowboy. Mm-hmm. And so he kind of comes up and he's like, you know, you feel a little bit, but you're going to be fine. And I'm like, okay, Ben, I totally trust you. He's like, yeah, you know, you're fine. You want another pad? You don't need one. And you're like, what are you going to say? Yes, please give me another pad.
Thanks, Ben.
Well, you are a crier, so maybe you did.
So I did the fact that you didn't die right away, and we can talk about that. Was there a discussion about, okay, so what happens post-bullet?
Right.
I mean, because there's a huge opportunity for all kinds of stuff, and I love the fact that it was played just, this is it.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't happen right away, and you still had this
moment. Well, I think yeah. And there's what I was hoping we'd go for, and there was a discussion of it, and I mean, even like technical little things of like, how does your body flail as you're like gasping for breath?
Yeah, because you could get really weird.
Yeah, sure. But you know, I think that the what we wanted and Adam Arkin, the director, wanted was just a connection between Jimmy and Boyd.
Yeah, that clearly was, and even the callback to it, because that one way he kind of leaves them and lands on you after you're already dead,
mm-hmm.
just to remind us.
Yes.
Yeah,
that was a good shot.
It's a creepy choice to have that sitting in there.
Yeah.
I'll tell you on that. On this is not something I would admit on the day, but so after 6 hours of doing the scene over and over and over, and crying over and over, and all we started at 6 a.m. and. You're just spent. Mm-hmm. You're just like, you've exhausted all emotion, and you're, so unbelievably tired. And then we had lunch. And then we went back into the next scene where I'm a corpse. And I'm like, okay, well, you can just relax. You're a corpse. Mm-hmm. So, I'm, trying to be really still, and you got my eyes closed, and I'm down. And then they're doing the scene. And then I kind of hear from off camera Adam go, "Jesse, can you breathe?" And I was like, "Huh? What?" And he's like, "Well, you're moving." And I fell asleep.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Because I was just done. Sitting in a chair, emotionally done, up since 6, and, enjoying my eyes closed.
Then all taking a little break.
Right.
Yeah. Then I was like, oh, no, I'm good. I just had a muscle twitch.
Working method. Working
method. Dream.
Trying to.
Okay, I know we got to get to the show, but one other question.
Yeah.
Now, when you got zipped up into the bag.
Thank you. I wanted to know that.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like? Was that a little weird for you? Or were you at that point so exhausted? Yeah, fine. Just lay me down.
Yeah, he was still sleeping. He didn't even know what happened.
It was like, oh, great. Turn the lights out. It's great. No, that was not that bad. I mean, there was a big hole right there in the top.
Yes,
he didn't zip it all the way to the top. You can't tell. It's in the background.
Yeah.
It was totally. And it was fun for him to just pull me back and forth across the floor over and over. It's like a slide.
Yeah.
All right. There we go.
Can I tell you how I experienced the whole thing?
Sure.
Last week, Tamara said, oh, no, Jimmy's not dead.
Because he wasn't at the end of last week's episode.
I thought that meant,
I was quoting Graham Yost.
Yes. I thought that meant you weren't dead for this season.
Uh-huh.
So I see that thing, and I go, and then Adam cuts over to you, and I'm like going, oh, see, yeah, so he's still going to be alive. And you're going in the bag, and I'm going, he's going to wake up in the trunk.
That's the way I felt as I was watching it, too.
Yeah.
Just come back.
Yeah, no.
Traditionally,
evidently, you did die.
Traditionally, when you're gut shot, it's kind of over.
But it's also justified where you anyway.
A lot of people have survived gunshots to the chest.
Boyd Crowder was supposed
Crowder
to be dead.
In episode
Johnny.
One.
And Johnny. If Graham Yost says Johnny. You're not dead, you're not dead. Yeah, but you don't need to quite take it so far, Steve.
The body bag was a finale, I think.
Right, we gotta move
on. We do. And one thing we have to do is talk, because this is the finale.
I made cupcakes.
Yeah, I know.
They're special cupcakes. They're chocolate with peppermint on top. And they have a little extra special something. And this is partly because of the finale, partly because I and Matt both had birthdays.
Yes.
So I have special treats for you, Matt.
What? I didn't know we were doing gifts. I didn't buy anything.
Pop Rocks.
Hilarious.
Special just for you. And
hilarious.
On top of the cupcakes are Pop Rocks.
There you go.
Wow.
So that's a little extra special.
You want to let everybody know why?
Yeah, because you want to know
what
that trick is.
I don't want to know
you
what it feels
do
like.
Want to know what
I'm
that
just
trick
positive
is.
That the trick involving Pop Rocks and a blowjob from earlier in the season.
For those who aren't aware, and Jesse's not sure
earlier
either.
In the season, Terry. She was calling herself Candy, but her name is Terry. Terry popped back up, and she seduced that one corner boy by telling him that she would use her special trick. She would put Pop Rocks in her mouth and then give him a blowjob.
Cyrus,
exactly. And in my opinion, it cannot be possible that's enjoyable for anyone involved.
And you can use those however
back.
You want. Those
Great.
Are a gift from me. You can do whatever
you
want with them.
Right,
first
no
episode.
Judgment.
It literally the explosion.
Right? There you go. Yeah. And it says that on the package.
Right. Let's move on to the show.
I agree with you.
Talk about
I agree.
The show, please.
I agree.
I was wondering as it happened. As they're filming I'm like, it doesn't.
I imagine that it's happened because when I was growing up at sleepaway camp, it was mentioned.
Uh-huh.
This is not the first time I've heard of it.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine that's fun. They're popping around. That hurts.
We are going to keep watching your Twitter feed. That's all I'm going
to
say.
All right, so we've got
just one other thing I want to say about last week's with Jacob Pitts being here. So he had something that he wanted to talk about that he didn't because he was a little bit shy about it. And that's the cover that he did of Walking on Broken Glass. So you can find it at SoundCloud. Facebook.com/youngmanonacid.
And it's actually great.
It's really cool. We listen to it ourselves. Yeah. And so check that out. I look at my Twitter feed for the link if you can't find it.
Oh, I can't wait.
There you go. Yeah, we'll talk more about Jacob.
I believe it.
We've got to get to the thing. So
we've
got to talk about how Jimmy's death affected Boyd. So obviously he's now, there's no, I mean, who's left in his organization?
Carl.
Carl, yeah. But Carl, we don't know what happened to Carl.
Yeah.
So that was kind of
he
but
ran off.
He obviously he has an opening, and he's trying to fill it by convincing the cartel guys to join him.
Partner up.
To partner up.
We would make a good team.
They would.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And the amazing part in that scene is Boyd was the only one who didn't realize they
that
weren't going to join.
That wasn't going to work.
Right.
And I loved watching that scene to see them put him in that position of just, you are so misreading this, and you are so gullible, because you don't get to see him do that very often. Mm. Like,
I don't
never.
Think we've ever seen him that desperate.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he's just grasping.
Really, really at the end of all ropes in this season, I think. And that's what they were trying to do.
And I think that's why he was so hopeful.
But it was such an interesting choice to have him stand up and say, you just don't know how to die. And have that moment of pure Boydism. Yeah. Then cut off at the knees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, he's someone who, you know, he escapes by the skin of his teeth from a lot of situations.
All the time, yeah.
And, you know, as desperate as he is, in that one instant, he's thinking, maybe I just might swing this one,
exactly.
too.
I just got out of this one, too.
And the great thing about this season, painting him into this corner, having him be met with failure after failure after failure, is it pushes him to contact Raylan and try to lead him into this firefight, mm-hmm. which sets off this final conflict. You'd have to be pretty desperate to make that play, mm-hmm. and it makes everything that has come before, I think, completely, justified, you know, in terms of story construction. And I'm so excited about seeing them square off next season.
Yeah.
I cannot express the joy.
Yeah.
Of anyway.
Well, I like it too, because I think it really sets up the bookend. That's how we started the series off, between Boyd and Raylan facing off. I think that's how we're going to end it. I think they're going to be. I would love to see them end it at a dining table and have Boyd pull again and
cut to black and you don't know what happens.
I just think it's going to happen. I think, I think they're going to do that same thing.
They had so many shots of, like, again, the bridge shot, which is reminiscent to the first
season.
Bringing
us back to the bridge, the country house. Right.
The country
where
house.
Where Boyd had done so much damage before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of it. Even the career choice. Well, you know you're good at bank robbing.
Right.
So
we're going back
really,
to our roots.
It was just like such a setup to this finals going to be all about, you know, old school.
Yeah. I loved the sequence at the country house after, you know, when he changes Raylan's number to be Daryl on his phone so quickly, I'm like, awesome.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Love this.
Yeah.
And then didn't expect Tim and Rachel to be the ones to come up to the house.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But of course, Raylan was never going to leave Daryl and Wendy alone.
Yeah. When he learned that Daryl's out in the wind,
he's
not. That's what he wants at Daryl.
Yeah, but I love when he shoots that final guy from behind his back and he starts taunting Tim, like, hey there, Mr. Sniper Ranger.
Mr. Sniper Ranger.
Mr. Sniper Ranger, so you want to learn how to do that? Well, you know, it was just pure swagger, which he has not earned at all.
No.
Although I imagine he feels that way, escaping by the skin of his teeth.
Yeah, because he was dead in his mind, and he comes out victorious.
Oh, the way he kept talking with Rachel and Tim and about how, you know, look, if it helped, if my selflessness helped to ensure that I was going to survive, well, hey, so be it.
Right.
Walton Goggins does such a good job of subtly showing his desperation when the gun is at his head and then at his stomach, and he's talking him through. Now, listen to me, work this out. And when the gun pulls away, he does just a small little. Sorry for the podcast, but it's a very small little. Yeah.
Just like a relief eye roll.
Yeah, and it's so small and subtle. It's
like
great.
Thank Christ.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned it, watching him.
Mm-hmm.
I assume it was a thrill to do it because, you know, you learned so much. Who else did you watch where you're specifically going, okay, what can I steal? I mean, borrow from. What can I learn
in my acting school?
Exactly.
Obviously, the great guest stars that have come through, and being kind of a henchman bodyguard for the first, mostly for the first two seasons, was a great opportunity to watch him square off with the other heavyweights, yeah. which, you know, which that came through with Robert Quarles, mm-hmm. Neil McDonald, or yeah. Michael T. Williamson, you know, mm-hmm. Or last year with Mike O'Malley, Nicky Augustine,
right. mm-hmm.
you know, and they would have these long, mm-hmm. long, you know,
scenes, yeah, absolutely.
Posturing scenes, or even Jerry, even
Duffy.
Yeah. I don't know. It's hard to.
And they're paying you to do it.
Yeah, and you get paid to do it. And this season in particular, I'll tell you the one scene that I was like just on fire mm-hmm. with loving to be able to do the same thing of being in the background and just watching it was the big, giant cluster of a scene that had Jane Roscoe. Their final scene when mm-hmm. Agent Miller comes in mm-hmm. and Roscoe does the reason, not the need,
yeah.
the King Lear thing.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Oh, mm-hmm. man. Mm-hmm. Watching that, I was just like, mm-hmm. oh, like over and over and over. And he started it with this, the way he started it was like, he's obviously done Shakespeare.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, and so he was like doing Shakespeare. And then all of a sudden he just decided, like, and I saw him talking with Tim about it, and, mm-hmm. and he's like, no, I'm just going to like, gangster this shit up. And then I was, oh man,
he did
so wow. Yeah, it's I it's hard to pick just one because there's it's always been great. Yeah.
It's a gift.
Yep,
absolutely.
All right, so so Boyd obviously somehow gets through that experience, and then the next thing he's done he's out of the heroin mm-hmm. biz.
Yeah,
you know.
Just and like that.
Exactly.
I forgot to ask. Did you enjoy the skinning lesson?
I loved the skinning lesson.
Oh,
yeah.
That's right. We haven't talked about that. Yeah. We had Ooh. Talked about it. And I was surprised, you know, because they brought the knives out. And usually you bring the knives out. I was like, whoa.
Right?
Are we really going to see? Usually the knives come into play. But, of course, that wasn't in the first deck. So
right.
They showed that in the later segment.
It's a great example of how dialogue can trump visual. Mm-hmm. And just they're letting your imagination... Mm-hmm. you know, play what he is saying, mm-hmm. which, and I'm sure Boyd's was too.
And interesting knives, the blades and things, oh, yeah. you know? Wow. So, I mean, it just nice made fillet. It really yeah. sinister. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the last knife, it was a skinning knife.
Yeah.
But
oh, okay, thanks.
Sorry.
Butcher Matt.
You know. But,
a lot of
yeah.
skinning experience.
Yes, yeah,
it was, apparently.
It was a great scene. I had a lot of fun watching it. I also, you know, really enjoyed the quiet... the way that Walton Goggins yeah. played the moment when he finds out that Ava's getting out of prison,
yeah.
and it's just the line mm. I don't understand because mm-hmm.
he didn't even think it was a possibility.
He didn't think right. it was a possibility, and mm-hmm. and honestly, I'm sure that he went through a lot of very painful moments as he tried to get used to the fact that it wasn't ever going to change. Mm-hmm. And there's no he did everything that he could to get her out, and then she still wasn't going to get out. So how is this? Mm-hmm. I don't understand.
Well, mm-hmm. and do you think he's going to be onto it?
Do you think he's? I think yeah. he's buying it right now.
Yeah,
right?
I think because he hasn't had time to really process those.
And he
things.
Wants it to be
sure.
true, of course.
Yeah, and you know, Rachel says that she's coming after him,
yeah.
but he doesn't really have any proof. Mm-hmm. Raylan's been saying that he wants to put him away for years.
Yeah.
So once he gets wind of the fact that they actually are coming after him,
then
I think
he'll start to.
Then the clock starts
yeah,
ticking
yeah.
until
yeah.
he figures
yeah.
it out.
Because I was thinking the same thing. Look, if they really had something on me, they would have done it by now.
Right.
So that's what he's thinking. At least that's what Boyd's thinking.
And also, I mean, Boyd obviously doesn't know this, but you remember last episode when we saw Ava and Raylan interact for the first time in a long time,
yeah.
and the amount of malice that was
yeah.
there between them, and we
yeah.
were actually saying, like, I can't even imagine that these two were ever together.
Yeah. Right.
So that's what makes it all the more exciting to see them have to trust each other again after all this time with all the leftover resentment of how that actually turned out. There's so much to play with
yeah.
reintroducing that relationship. I want to bring up another thing, too, and I know I'm jumping ahead, so we won't discuss it at length, but we still have Wendy and Kendall in the wind going down to Florida, where Raylan's supposed to be going at the end of this case. I just remember, before all the darkness, before Danny's death, before all of that,
yeah.
Raylan and Wendy had a spark.
Yes,
and I'm just saying, outside of Winona, who obviously is going to be relieved to have him back in Florida, and we...
Because she's tired.
Right, but, you know, we'd love to see them together. I like the idea of keeping the options open for how does Raylan resolve the romantic side of his story.
Well, right. I don't think he's going to Florida.
Well, not yet. Yet, but I mean, I'm sure he's going to go down.
Yeah.
They're setting everything. Look, one more thing before I go.
Yeah, there's always one more thing.
Absolutely. It's always been rated. Art's going to do one more thing before he retires.
That one thing is season six.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I think they're building up to Raylan and Ava having amazing angry sex.
I would not be surprised. That would not shock
me,
Steve.
With lots of spoilers.
You would?
I'd be surprised if that's where they went.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they often don't go where I think they're going to go. It's
clearly.
I don't know. I do want to say another, thing about this season that was really sort of lacking for me, and that was Raylan shirtless. I know I'm going to be the only one in the room. But
no. I will say this. It's not fair. We need to be even. We need to be just.
We saw lots of ladies' butts.
Lots of ladies' butts. In exchange, we get Dewey's butt. That's negative points. Sorry,
I want to see Raylan shirtless, and we haven't seen it. So he deserves some awesome sex, I think, because it's been a while.
But I don't think it's with Ava.
No?
No?
Who are you calling, Jesse? What's the pick?
Alicia.
What? Yeah, Wendy Crow.
Wendy Crow.
Wendy is, I don't think that's a bad guess, but I don't think he's going to wind up in Florida in enough time.
Mm-hmm.
So there might be,
somebody else
along the way, and maybe it's Allison coming back. But maybe I think
it's
Karen
Sisko.
Maybe.
Yes, maybe. That would be fantastic.
Mary Steenburgen.
Yeah, Mary Steenburgen. I think what I loved about the last episode, about episode 12, was it really reintroduced this, like, boy, these characters hate each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
right.
And Boyd and Raylan have, like, sort of had to team up several times, and it was like from season one to season six, you've got these two forces, and you have to keep them apart, and how do you kind of navigate that and bring them together and everything like that. But what that came back of, like, boy, these guys just really despise each other. And same with Ava and Raylan.
But don't you think that's going to be kind of important for the final season to reset the parameters of their relationship? Because we have hung out with them so long that you always kind of like, oh, yeah, but you're kind of friends, you're kind of buddies, because you kind of want them to be.
Right.
So to remind everybody, no.
That's what I think they stuck the backbone in with this episode, was just like, oh, remember. Because that's what we've been thinking for a while. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've even run promos of Boyd and Raylan, shooting guns alongside each other at somebody else. And that was like the season three or four trailer. Mm-hmm. And it's like they need to, or not needed to, but they did put this backbone back in. These guys are enemies. Yeah.
Right,
these
but in a weird way, you are kind of rooting for them to just get together
and fight crime together.
They're frenemies.
Interesting thing that they also did with that is, and I think this still works. Oh, no, we're not there yet. Okay, never mind.
Lastly, on the Boyd, I just want to talk about the fact that the Catherine Wynn scene with him at the end there. We haven't even talked about that.
Right,
I mean,
right.
Okay.
Because we learned a lot there.
Forgive me. Who is she married?
She was married to
a bad guy. Wynn's mentor.
Wynn Duffy's mentor. Who went away years ago. He was convicted for the murder of AUSA
Vasquez's
boss.
Yes. So Vasquez seems to have some knowledge or suspect that she was the one in charge of the criminal conspiracy, that she was the one who had his boss killed, and she never got prosecuted for it. Mm-hmm. So he has a personal vendetta towards her, which that's the only reason that they're going after Boyd at all, is this union of Rachel wants to open it, and Vasquez is not only on board, he's gunning for Catherine Hale.
Yeah, for personal reasons as well as, obviously. Right. Professional obligation.
Yeah.
Right.
So, Boyd, you suck at heroin, but I hear you're extraordinary when it comes to robbing banks.
But also in that scene, I thought was more interesting than that was the way Wynn was talking. We got a really good idea that Catherine wasn't just the wife. She was running the show.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
So,
that part, because, Boyd was playing it like, no, real soft and loose. Like, well, depending on how much you knew about his escapades or whatever. Mm-hmm. But clearly she'd been running it all along.
Yeah.
Also, for as much as Wynn takes care of Mike, he doesn't seem at all bothered to have him maybe blow up.
Right. Be a peach.
When he throws the keys to Mikey. I love that moment.
Yeah, be a peach.
Like, be a peach.
And I wonder, again, was that scripted? Because that's a great line, and if it wasn't...
I'm sure it was.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, it could have been something that come up with something.
Do you know how much they just let Jerry Burns just go? Or is it pretty tight to
no,
the script?
No, oh, God, no. Have you had other actors on the from the show
yeah.
on here before?
Yeah, they work a lot of stuff out on the day.
There's no...
I'm one of my first scenes, I went up and I was like, hey, I'm sorry. I went up to the runner, one of the writers, and I said, hey, I'm sorry, I think I said this line instead of this line. And he goes, oh, man, this is not that kind of show. I didn't even notice. Yeah. Like, oh, do that, that kind of feels show. Good. Okay. So they very much are... loose with the with the words. And I mean, when we sit down to start scenes, it's like the actors are sitting in a circle, the writer's there, and they're pitching little tweaks on on the very end, like, can we and Walton especially, and Walton is so great at minimalizing everything, and he'll frequently say, like, can we lose these two lines, and they'll go, yeah, you know, and then the writers are very encouraging of the actors, or if they really need, they say, no, we need this because of this, and then, you know, it's a very collaborative process.
Yeah, sure.
So what I liked about the scene is because we learned that Catherine, a lot of backstory with her, very quickly getting that, and also it sets up a whole thing. We're going to peel away the layers of her because how badass is she?
Right.
Well, so here's
that's great.
That sweet smile.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, she's just a country grandmother.
Like, honey.
Here's the one thing, though, that we have to remember. Now, Wynn says, you know, I wasn't going to come up for air. I wasn't going to call you until the matter resolved itself. Boyd says, I resolved it for you. But I have to imagine that these guys, before they got killed, called Mr. Yin and their bosses in Mexico and let them know Boyd Crowder's still alive. So how are they all seemingly ignorant of this fact?
Yeah.
They just started this episode because it's the immediacy of it. Those guys that were there aren't there. So until the new crop from the cartel comes out, it's not a... It's not in front of us.
It's not a pressing issue.
Exactly.
Just tuck that behind your ear for later.
That may not be going away.
Harlan is kind of the Bermuda Triangle for bad guys.
they all wind up there.
No one gets
and they
out
never
of
leave
there.
Alive.
They That's never right. leave Harlan alive.
All right. So, let's. Anything else we want to talk about the Jimmy Boyd particular storyline and how that.
I think he's still alive. I'm going with my
You're hoping, aren't you?
Jimmy, we can only hope that you're going to come back from the grave.
Time to.
Let's move on to Ava because she had a very interesting.
Big episode.
Yeah, and it set up a whole new arc for her.
Well,
go ahead.
We've been bummed that she's been stuck in prison all season.
All season.
But it was for a purpose. It was to drive her to a place where betrayal of Boyd is possible.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's something that's exciting enough. But I think it was worth it.
Yeah, it was. And it was a great place, a good journey for her. Because remember, we were talking Dairy Queen earlier in the season.
Yes,
we were still having the vestiges of that. And that is completely demolished now.
Yep.
Yeah, there were times where I was just like, why? Why are we still here? Why are we still here? And I agree. I think the payoff does make that all make sense.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, I mean, I was reading message boards and people were very frustrated by Ava being in prison all season. Number one, because there was always the comparison of Orange is the New Black. Yeah. And it was difficult to try and show it in a different way and something that we haven't seen before. Mm-hmm. And just, people were just really frustrated by it. So I think everybody is thrilled that she's out of prison.
Well, I especially like this particular episode because she took on Gretchen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Instead of, she just, let's face it, we actually have her standing on the table. I mean, it was Norma Rae moment, Union, right?
Yes,
she's saying, calling her out as a coward.
Yes. That was very ballsy.
Yeah.
She was ready to fight. She was ready to go. But then ultimately, she realizes that the danger's never going to stop. Mm-hmm. She puts herself into solitary confinement for temporary protection.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But then Rowena, comes in. She lays it out for her.
Yeah. Here's either the go crazy deal. Here or get killed out there.
And again, the heroine storyline isn't even being addressed, which is that was
Gretchen. Gretchen mentions you must be high on your own product.
And then somebody else says you're good for business, but no one is saying, and by the way, where is the business, which could be used to even push her decision further to betray Boyd.
Right, because she knows that even if she doesn't take this deal, the clock is ticking until she is of
no use
to anyone.
Haven.
Like,
no, I thought the setup was great. I thought
it's great. Just like Boyd, the only decision I have right here, the only play I can make is to hopefully get Raylan to come save me.
Mm-hmm.
That's how desperate he is. Right. And then her desperateness is hopefully Raylan can save me.
Right.
Well, think about her evolution over the course of the series, right? She starts out as a woman who was being beaten by her husband, and she was in this terrible abusive relationship, and she got out of it by killing him.
Yep.
She murdered her husband. I mean, in self-defense, but
yeah.
that's still a thing. And she went from being proud and having some values and thinking that maybe her life could normalize mm-hmm. to falling in love with this incredibly destructive force, the brother of her abusive husband, mm-hmm. And then got so wrapped up in the criminal side of things.
That she legitimately killed someone.
Right. And then wound up having to pay not just for her crimes, but then for crimes she didn't even commit. Yeah. Like, life has completely screwed her over, you know, in response to these choices that she's made. Mm-hmm. And she's an entirely different person now than she was the last time she and Raylan had this much contact.
Yeah.
Which, you know, not just her attitude towards him or towards law enforcement, but I have to imagine she's very nihilistic right now. Like, life is terrible.
Yeah.
And the only way that she's going to stay out of prison and potentially have a shot at anything resembling normalcy is to survive this test, to you know, report on Boyd and to get him into jail.
Well, the other thing that's great about the way they set it up is her lack of faith that Boyd had her back,
mm-hmm.
which, again, is very helpful if she's going to...
In making the turn.
Yeah. And how she plays that turn.
Yeah.
So... Yeah.
That from her perspective, he didn't. Everything he tried failed.
As far as she knows.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But yeah. From her perspective.
So,
yeah.
I hope they mine all that information.
It's
going to
be great, though, because she's going to have all this conflict because, like, you know, this is the person I loved. We had these plans and they fell apart, and now I'm going to betray him. And, I mean,
it's going to be ripe for heartbreak.
Oh, yeah. She also broke up with him.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that hurt him mm-hmm. a bit.
And I love the tension between them in their one interaction when she comes home and she tells him not to stay. You know, she's like, he's like, what do we do now? She's like, well, I'm going to go in, take a bath, put on my PJs. And go to sleep in my own bed.
And then we're going to see how they. Then she's going to have to put on this, you know, fake face for him because they got to get. She's got to get back together with him in some fashion in order to stay in close and get information.
That's going to be difficult because you know she still loves him.
Yeah.
And so she's doing it for the wrong reasons and is going to betray him. And so the conflict within her is just going to be
now
heartbreaking.
Jesse, you've worked with them extensively. Yeah. Can you speak to? What they talk about in terms of how they play their relationship when Ava and Boyd.
Oh yeah, yeah. Walt and Joelle are constantly scheming. Mm-hmm. They're talking about the scene before the scene. They're talking about the scene in between takes. They're talking about the scene after the scene. I mean, they really have all the nuances down that they need to have. And I think, you know, the proof is in the pudding. And that scene in particular where they reconnect at the country house was so wonderful because when you realize what's going on in her head and it's just like, because she seems so cold initially, mm-hmm. and you think, well, maybe it's just she got out of jail or, you know, whatever the case may be, but there's no happy reunion to be had here. Mm-hmm. And then you kind of realize later she's just not ready to do it just yet.
Yeah.
She's not, you know, she probably sees him and is ecstatic and wants to hug him and wants to hold him and wants to everything like that, but she knows she has to stab him in the back. And so it's just like, can we just...
Can I have one day?
Can I do this tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to take a bath. Get my pajamas. Shut the world out.
Yeah.
And I'm curious because Adam Arkin directed mm-hmm. this episode.
Yep.
And there's so much that isn't said and so many moments that are just allowed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Do the different directors... make you feel different as your character or are they more just
because obviously he's an actor
captain.
So does he come at it from more of an actor's point of view
sure yeah. All of the directors that are virtually all the directors that we have are repeat directors, you know, mm-hmm. they come and I think that's the way it is with most shows, but we get the same guys, you know, over and over and I think it's great because they know the characters and mm-hmm. they know the story and they mm-hmm. know the actors and they know how to talk to them mm-hmm. And everybody is a working machine and a team together. And Adam is, I mean, I think Adam is absolutely wonderful. And I do think him coming from an acting mm-hmm. Background helps a lot. But he really, he knows what language to speak to you mm-hmm. in. And
they were talking about how he talked to Kendall, too. In that, uh-huh. I'm sorry, the character Kendall. I mean, in that specific scene with Raylan, and that you know, Adam apparently had some really helpful things to say for him. Because that's, I mean, first of all, the kid does a great job, and then that kid at that age handling a scene like that well, was impressive.
I also, I mean, I actually know Adam's family I know his daughter. Mm-hmm. We were buddies before I even got on the show.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And so I know Adam has a son that's about 9, so maybe that helped him.
Oh,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Interesting there.
But Adam is absolutely wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine he has a shorthand with actors.
He has a very shorthand. Yeah. And when I saw his name on the script,
call.
For the last episode, and I knew that I was dying in that, right. And I came in and I just said, I'm really happy it's you.
Yeah.
Because there are directors who are just concerned about making their
day. Yeah, they're more technical.
You know,
right?
they're more technical, or they're worried about, like, nobody go into overtime.
Right,
and
exactly.
You're like, well, but we're trying to make a damn show
need
here.
The moment
like,
here.
Yeah,
right.
Like,
exactly, yeah.
All right. We gotta get on.
We gotta move on to Wendy.
You have to die on time.
Wendy?
Yeah, we gotta move on to Wendy.
Speaking of time, yeah.
Yeah, let's move on. Where do we want to jump in with the Wendy and Daryl
thing? Okay, so
she
finds out that Kendall did not shoot art, and Raylan says you need to wear a wire.
Yeah, and she, of course, after being beaten so brutally a couple of episodes prior to this, she knows
says
that,
no.
No, and because she knows that he'll sense it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Raylan has not been the king of sensitivity the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Not well, a strong suit.
He said, but and was it last week that he turned to Ava and he said, yeah, I can be
hard too.
And
yeah.
So, and he's just reminding us that, you know, when they need to pull the lever or push them in the direction.
He was ice cold this episode. Well, I mean, when he's standing
over
Daryl's body.
Right.
And we have that amazing shot as he's looking just past the lens. Mm-hmm. And he's basically like straight on with the camera. He's like, you know, I told you you would wish that I'd killed you. Uh-huh. Don't you?
Don't
that
you?
That was the moment I was talking about where they're going to they're reintroducing how bad Raylan can be.
I don't think that it ever left. I think that if anything, this season was about making sure that the audience is aware. Listen, this dude has done some bad stuff.
Yeah.
But they also had the challenge of dealing with Kendall. And when Raylan and Kendall are together, you see the father Raylan wants to be. Mm-hmm. You see that. And that can overshadow just, you know, the fact that he did kill a guy to protect his family. That there
he
is the
guy.
Wild
he had a guy killed.
Yeah, he didn't do it.
He was complicit.
Hey.
Careful, he didn't pull a trigger.
Same with Raylan and Loretta. The girl that's in,
in
the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
Right.
Having that moment and having it framed that way and giving it just chilling.
Which moment? The Daryl moment?
The dying Daryl.
Yeah.
And the line itself is just so good. There's so many things. I'm only guessing the writers are probably like a whole sheet of, what can Raylan say? And then to choose that simple line. But, yeah, I think they had to push that again to get us ready for the final season.
I'm sure. I want to talk about that Kendall Raylan scene, though.
Yes.
If we can. Just because we've never heard about Raylan's first kill.
Yeah, but hang on, because let's talk about that last, because we have the Wendy Daryl thing, because I want to spend more time on that, too, and I want that to be the last thing we talk about. Because right now, everybody's happy. I mean, let's face it, Daryl was not the nicest of guys. We wanted his comeuppance.
Right.
Yeah. And so we set this whole thing in motion because they let Daryl out early, and they hold Wendy back because they're trying to, as Raylan says, give the man some rope to hang himself.
Mm-hmm.
So, and of course, let's talk another great scene between Daryl and
Tim.
That was a nerve-wracking scene because Daryl being nice, you're like going,
because every time he's been nice, right, just shortly or somewhere during that nice moment, he goes nuts.
Yeah,
it beats somebody up.
I love, one of my things that I love about this show is, all the villains are very intelligent. Mm-hmm. It's a different type of intelligence than I think is displayed anywhere else on TV. They're all very smart. They're very crafty.
And they're charming.
Well, incredibly charming.
And that's the thing. That, you know, a crafty, clever villain makes it that much more satisfying when your protagonist comes after them and ultimately prevails.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Or they're dumb as a bucket of rocks, like or Dickie Bennett, or those kinds of guys.
Yeah.
So it's an extreme. Yeah. One or the other.
Absolutely. I guess we're talking about the
main,
real
the masterminds.
Yes, exactly.
So and we got to learn a little bit about Tim and his second tour of Afghanistan, and you know, and he's so cool. You know, and you know.
Oh, you don't know. You don't want to know what we did to that guy.
Exactly. Yeah, that was a great line.
And he says, you know, and he'll have an erection about what was it? It's like another boner line.
How comfortably erect I'll be watching your bitch ass squirm.
It's like, you know, they had they have these lines for Tim.
Yeah. Little stars on that one.
Yeah.
Go Jacob. It was very, very yeah. fun. And always, you know, always and nice to see him open an episode.
Exactly.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
He's great. And it reminded me a little bit of last season with him and Ron Eldart.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, Colton. And that yes. whole thing of them having that. Yes. So it's mm-hmm. it's fun when he gets...
Yeah, but of course Daryl's able to get away.
I was just going to say, Rachel and Tim are both going to be featured more prominently next season,
right.
according to Graham Yost and his intentions. And we right. know things change, but right. that his intention
I
is to.
I would hope so, because they've earned that, I
sure.
would think.
Definitely.
I think they've earned yeah. that. And I think the fans are really wanting that.
And mm-hmm. since we can't have Jimmy coming back from the dead,
well,
I guess
maybe
that's
he'll come back anyway. We'll bring
He's
him back
not
to Star
dead.
Cross.
I keep telling you guys.
So Daryl escapes. He
Again.
He drives off, causes Tim's in a car crash. Yeah. Goes back to Audrey's, and Wendy calls him, tracks him down, and this amazing performance from Alicia Wynn
yeah.
as she tries to get him
to confess,
mm-hmm. and she's, you know, forgiving him and saying, I'd never understood what it was like to protect the family, and like really giving this heartfelt appeal,
mm-hmm.
and it's really moving. And beautiful, if it was the truth.
Right.
And it's, even as it's not the truth, it's still incredibly intense and just a wonderful scene. And then she, I'm just like, why
really?
Tell him? Why
yeah.
tell him that?
Take the bag and walk oh. out.
Because she wants to kill him.
She wants that confrontation.
Yeah.
She,
yeah.
You can see in the shot, she's already reaching behind her back.
And the show is justified. I think she feels justified. You put my son in this position?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You killed
no
Dilly?
No one's more pissed than her yeah. in that episode.
Hell hath no fear.
But that was an interesting scene because Daryl was telling her, you don't know your kid.
Oh,
what
yeah.
did we do on the
You're
on
deadbeat
his
mom?
Yeah,
and the fact that he's sitting there and she's saying, "You did all you could to keep the family together." He says, mm-hmm. "Yeah, it was tough work. There's no family left.
Right?
Mm-hmm. They're all kind of dead, or
yeah, you suck
kind
at keeping
of
the family
jail.
Together."
And yet he's sitting on his throne. Mm-hmm. You know, like I did a great job keeping the family together.
But
it's all about family.
I also like that he gives it up because there's a part of him, and I thought Michael Rappaport played it beautifully. Was that he wants to say, you know, I didn't mean to. I didn't.
Right.
Have any idea to shoot the man? He was just there. It just mm-hmm. happened. But it was a part of him, and that happens a lot. You know, there's a part of you that wants to confess, even though you shouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he does.
Yeah.
Because I think, in some weird way, he struggles for family too. He really wants family.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I think so too.
Yeah.
He's not just doing it to make money.
No.
There's not. You know. There's. There was a genuine motivation behind all of those things.
It's a weird, twisted family, but he's trying to make mm-hmm. it work.
It's his version of the Dairy Queen.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Know,
well, and he's also living in the shadow of his father.
Yeah.
You know, trying to be his dad, and they talked about that.
And she even used the term.
Exactly.
You can't live in a shadow.
Yeah.
And he's the only one on the series that lives in the shadow of his father, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. There's no other theme like that, is there?
No. Nothing is strung through.
Nothing else.
Just a
nice try, though, Steve.
Yeah. Raylan walking in. What did I miss?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
Wendy, now would be a good time to put down the gun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And again, Raylan deciding to talk family.
Yeah, exactly.
To Daryl. By the way, this is the other side of family.
Uh-huh.
Right.
You know, you have a gun to your balls
right.
kind of family.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Great scene.
Yeah. Your own family and dysfunction go together like peanut butter and chocolate. That was the Boyd Crowder line.
Oh, is that really?
Yeah.
I don't remember
yes,
that.
Sir.
Thank you for calling that back. I appreciate that.
Now, Tammy had a technical question about a kick to the balls
oh, right,
versus
I did.
A gunshot to the balls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You want to speak to this, Jeff?
So, I mean,
I've never experienced the latter.
Right.
I would assume no one.
Yeah, because you were shocked by his...
Yeah, so every guy, you know, who in every show or movie gets hit in the crotch with, you know,
a kick, whatever,
falls, like, you know, fetal position, crying, screaming.
Pain.
You get shot in the balls, there's blood everywhere, and he's like, whoa, check it out.
First of
like,
all,
what?
Okay.
We don't know necessarily that bullet
connected.
Where it hit.
Okay.
All right.
We don't know where it
we
hit.
We also don't know if he ever experienced pop rocks and it numbed the area. Maybe
oh,
you
he
never
could
know.
Have extensive pop rock damage.
Exactly.
It's true.
Exactly.
Pop
rocks numbing.
Pop rock damage.
The man ran a whorehouse, okay?
Right.
We can agree on that.
Oh,
much.
Yes, yes, we
balls.
Can.
Yeah. And even if they did hit the balls, right?
Yeah.
It is a pain so intense, he probably went into shock. It's also
right
his sister delivering the blow.
That's right.
Definitely a huge shock.
Yeah.
So he's just not feeling it.
Yeah.
I don't know if getting shot in the balls would hurt any more than getting shot in the arm.
See, or, there you go.
You know,
in the heart.
Yeah, and you got shot through duct tape. So if all of us here on the panel, he would know best.
Exactly. That is true.
So, he didn't wear two pads. He wore one.
That's right.
Damn right.
He's a tough guy. That is right.
I will say getting kicked in the balls is much funnier than getting shot in the balls.
You're right. It's not so funny. It's not that funny.
No one wants to think about that.
Okay, but you know, there's got to be some weird wish fulfillment because how many women out there have wanted to shoot somebody?
Right?
I guarantee any woman who is at the wrong end of a beating is thinking, I would have pulled that trigger.
Yeah. Exactly.
What, only once?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He had two of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, she shot him twice. She shot him in the neck.
It was particularly menacing there.
And she shot him three times.
And also the shot in the neck.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy that, Steve?
There was a good quotient of blood.
Right?
And splatter.
Yeah.
It was lacking. I think they reintroduced it with the cigarette bomb.
Right?
Yep. That was Have you ever been on set when anything like that happens?
No.
Well, it's on a different thing, yeah.
It's hilarious to see because you got, like, the cameras all there, and then everybody looks like a hurricane is coming because they drape them all
in ponchos
and plastic. So you look over, and it's just like this sea of plastic with, like, little lenses sticking out. And then the camera guys, like, they're all covered in plastic.
Yeah,
so they've got, like, goggles on, and it's like a Breaking Bad scene. You know, they're all looking like this. Okay, camera set. And then you're sitting there with the squib on, and you're like, is this, am I going to live? Like, am I going to actually be
able? Everyone seems really concerned.
Man, I'll take that other pad now.
Okay, do we want to talk about Art and Winona before we get into this Raylan thing?
No, but just a little bit more about the thing afterwards because of that. We've already talked a look. So because it's still the Winnie storyline, do we really think that they're going to – because you mentioned that the Florida thing. I think she's done.
I think she's done.
Yeah. We might see Kendall. I don't know that we'll ever see
her. Raylan says that he doesn't think that their paths will cross again. That could be the show saying they won't, or it could be the show saying you never know, Raylan.
Yeah,
so,
and Raylan's been wrong before. So,
I would guess that you don't.
Okay.
But I would also promise that they don't know. Currently.
Yeah,
I mean, sure.
You're right.
Yeah, they haven't set the whole arc.
Yeah, they don't know.
They haven't beat out the story.
There's
so
only 13 episodes left. If they can't give one to Alicia Wood, I understand.
Yeah. I think so, too. You might see Kendall.
They both did a really good job for the show, and they certainly deserve whatever cameo or whatever they might bring them back for. But I think because of the father issue of the show, that's why I think you will see Kendall.
Yeah.
And that kid, Jacob, he is just the nicest damn kid.
How old is that kid?
I think he's 12 or 13.
Wow.
He is so incredibly bright.
Really? He's 12 or 13 and he's pulling that stuff?
Yeah.
Wow.
Did you see Mud?
I
haven't seen it yet.
With Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, that's where they found him. Cammy Patton saw that movie and was like, I need that kid on Justified. He lives in Arkansas, flies in and out.
That's awesome. Good for him.
He's such a nice, he's the most polite, like, wonderful, like, every parent hopes their kid turns out
that'll
like
change.
That.
I would love him.
Now he's in Hollywood, so we'll get our hands on him.
I want to see Kendall become a marshal. I want to see him take the same step. He's got the same reason to be angry.
That's right.
As Raylan does. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we'll get into that in a bit.
Well, you could see Raylan's ghost of because we already saw his ghost of, you know, Raylan future with Agent Miller.
Exactly.
Right? That's the ghost of Raylan past.
Eric Roberts. Very interesting.
And also, you look at Dave Koechner's character, and we see the Raylan future
that could have been.
If he valued his family over his
work.
Let's talk specifically about the scene now that we wanted to talk about the scene in that when Raylan talks about the feral pig.
Right. So he's trying to get Kendall to convince Wendy that there's no way that Kendall did it. He's trying to get Kendall to recant. But he also tells the story about the first thing that he ever killed, and it's this feral pig that Arlo forced him to kill. And he said, you know, he'd tan my hide if he didn't. And, you know, the longer he waited, the worse that it was. And when he finally did it, he was sick to his stomach, so sick that he vomited everywhere, and then Arlo beat the hell out of him.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that he never forgot. It utterly changed him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
that was
the
writing on the wall right there.
Right.
Man.
And when we meet Raylan, he kills a man. It's the first thing we see him do.
Yep.
It's the first thing we see him do, and his use of violence has defined the show, especially early on. So to know that when he killed a man for the first time, he was just as disgusted as he was when he killed this pig, it makes you wonder one of two things. Is he still that disgusted when he kills something, which I'm thinking the answer is no.
No.
And if not, how far has he gone down this rabbit hole?
And will he ever be able to come back?
Will he ever be able to come back? And are all of his actions, I hate to keep using the title of the show, but it's the reason they titled it, because it was originally called Lawman, are his actions justified? Mm-hmm. And exploring that anger. And I'm just like, there's so much meat on this character bone. I can't.
Can you wait until season six?
No,
Matt?
I'm kvelling.
Really?
For all the Yiddish people out there, I'm kvelling. I'm so excited. Yes.
What does that mean? I'll
be okay. No, okay. It means I'm excited and I'm proud.
Great.
I'm proud of the show. I don't know if that's allowed. But I am.
It's okay.
The other thing is he aware how much he's shut down in order to do his job the way he does?
How much he's
because
lost.
He and Kendall used to be the same person.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He used to feel a lot more.
Yeah. And how much he's had to just close off and not feel in order to be rationalize what he does.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. It's so much fun to see him do that scene. The conflict of realizing where he came from.
Right.
Where he is, and what kind of father he could be,
because you would have thought the birth of his child would have brought him back, to some degree to humanity.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
To say, you know what?
I honestly think that it was my favorite episode of the season. But that Agent Miller episode where they're showing him his glimpse into the future, and when Hot Rod gets killed, and he's just on the and Miller's on the ground with him, and he gives him the booze, and he says, "Oh, it's the cheap shit," and all the and that's Boyd.
Yeah,
that's Raylan and Boyd. Yeah. And that's why I think that episode
was great.
And he's looking at him going,
"Yeah, that's
is
the parallel right
yeah,
there.
This is what I have to look forward to. This guy's alone." Bitter, an alcoholic,
exactly.
And, murders
and,
people,
and he's this close to getting to Florida and having and avoiding that life, and they
pull him back in for
one last thing before you go. And I thought that was great backstory to have. Sorry to interrupt, but great backstory to have Raylan say all that about Arlo, because Arlo's been such a huge influence, and we haven't really heard Arlo. In a season and a half?
No, not at all.
Since he died.
And to bring it all back in one scene and to crystallize everything, have it be about backstory, but not because he was really ostensibly trying to get Kendall to recant, or at least to prove to Wendy that he didn't do it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So it was just masterful how they wove all that in and made it all happen.
Yeah,
in
it was
scene.
A brilliant
and
scene.
One last point that I want to make sure we don't gloss over. He says, I'm not sure if I joined the Marshall Service just to spite Arlo, just to piss him off, which, if that's really what started his whole career, you think about how much does he really care about the law and how much of him doing his job has been about this lets me get out my anger in a positive way and allows me to kill people.
Right.
If I
exactly.
have to.
How
kill
many times
people
is,
like Arlo.
Yeah, how many times is he killing his dad?
Exactly.
Yes.
He's just endlessly murdering his father.
Yeah. Yes.
Versus Boyd, who's like this weird surrogate brother because Arlo preferred Boyd to him.
Yes, he did.
So now he's facing both his huge Oedipus complex and like how he feels about his father, and now he has to track down and kill his proverbial brother who he's been in this intense rivalry with.
So Greek.
So while all of this
Greek
is going
tragedy,
on.
Right?
So Greek Kentucky. Greek.
Exactly.
While all of this is going on, and Timothy's doing a great job with it, you have this young kid right across the table.
Yeah. Holding his own.
Who goes toe to toe.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't push. He doesn't try too hard. He just... And there's a great moment in there where Raylan basically goes, you're one big badass to... Let me get those handcuffs off so you can have
your
hot chocolate, your hot cocoa.
Your cocoa.
Yeah. And that is it right there. From badass to cocoa. In one line.
It was a great scene. Well written. And then, kudos to not only the actors in it, but whatever hand Adam had in creating those nuances and keeping it under and not, because it could have easily gone
a
much
arch.
Different way.
It could have been big.
It was a beautiful scene. It was really good.
And the way he was able to float back and forth between a hard nose, they're dinosaur, who cares, to that realization of, oh, holy crap, 40 years. Mm-hmm. And
just a little shake of the hand when he picked it up.
Yeah, all the little small stuff. Yeah. I thought he did a great job. This is one of my favorite scenes for the definitely for the season.
Okay. For the series for me.
Yeah, it's up there.
Yeah.
Right. Where else are we going with it? Well, let's,
we stopped, we saw art.
We got to see that. We got to see them at least come back together a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's fully resolved.
Great moment.
Yeah.
Great moment where art says thank you and mm-hmm. Brandon's just like.
Yeah, it looks like he wanted to say something about being transferred, like maybe I don't want to go or whatever, but then stops himself.
That's what's so great about it, because you are putting the words out there. You're like going, he's going to say, what? He's going to, and they, you know, say whatever you think he's going to say.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then we also have that moment where he asks Raylan, did you shoot him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, but he's dead. Act of God. And they both kind of chuckle. And it's so loaded.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
So, but in that moment, does it answer what he says to what Raylan had said to Tim? I don't think you know him as well as I do.
Yeah. Right.
Because I think Art was happy that he killed him.
Or no, that
allowed him to be killed.
That he was dead, but right. I think he was also happy that Raylan
didn't
kill
do
him.
It.
Oh, sure, yeah, but you know, because for me, that scene when he said that to Tim, whereas you don't think you know, I thought some people were suggesting that no, Art would want him brought in. I'm going, no, I don't think Art wants Daryl brought in. I think Art wants Daryl dead.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't know. because if you look at what's been the conflict between them this whole season is that he allowed Nikki Augustine.
Right.
Allowed Nikki Augustine to be dead, and Art's pissed about that.
Yeah, but that had that's different for me. It wasn't personal.
Right.
He that's what he wanted then, because you know you are complicit in somebody being killed. You didn't do it.
Right.
But this is different. This guy shot me.
Yeah.
And that's
right.
why I think.
Never mind.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Let whoever gets
all
killed.
All bets are off
killed.
When that happens.
I have
now
a new
I
memo.
See your point of view.
Yeah. So anyway, but I think that was a great scene. And then, of course, we had the scene with Winona to let us know that there's still that possibility out there that they might actually have some sort of – I don't know that they'll ever end up together, but they'll
– But some kind
the baby's still alive, Tamara. The baby's still
that
alive.
That baby won't die. I've been predicting the baby dying since before she was even born.
Since
she's really?
Pregnant.
Baby?
Oh, that was
I
baby
know.
Death? That
yes,
was,
because
baby
I thought, because it was,
she's
well,
the one who wants
Cram Yost
baby
is cold blooded. I'm not writing this show.
Apparently not, because he didn't kill a baby.
I don't know,
I've been on the show 3 seasons. I don't recall any baby murders.
No, that's why it would have been incredibly, amazingly painful and sad, and would really set Raylan off into a whole trajectory, but we're not going there, evidently.
All right, speaking
even
of where
though
we're
I
going,
keep saying we should
talk about next. Season, so all the arcs we have to do. So we're going to resolve. It's just going to end up, for me, it's just going to end up with Boyd and Raylan facing off, like we saw in the first time they got together. They're
right.
going to be a showdown. They're going to shoot.
Well, just back up just a second.
Yeah.
So you're going after Boyd? Why didn't you tell me?
Lovely. Yeah. Applause break.
Yeah.
You're so happy about that. Why didn't you go after him?
Right.
What are you waiting for?
He didn't know he
I
was
didn't
allowed
say
to.
So.
But how about this? That's Rachel's first decision. Pretty much as an acting Marshall.
Yeah. Right.
Which is awesome. And I hope that Raylan shows her the level of gratitude that he should.
And
because he's been so helpful and gracious with the art. Yeah.
They gave her a great turn up at Ava's place when she was saying, you know, I'm coming after you, Boyd. She did a very personal
touch on the
arm and was just like two friends talking, but you are, and I thought, well, that's
honey.
Good.
Really
yeah,
invaded
that's good.
His space.
That's good,
you know?
Yeah.
It's like, whoa.
It's kind of a Catherine Hale moment, too.
Oh,
you
totally.
Know, just the smiles.
Yeah.
Can I make some predictions?
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Yes, let's do it.
Okay. Let's see. So yeah, we've got Boyd versus Raylan. That's happening. I think we're gonna see Elson Limehouse again before the end of the series.
Oh, I hope so.
I
think we will.
There.
Yeah.
Mags not so much.
Mags not so much.
Jimmy will be back.
Yes.
The body bag.
Yeah. Don't discount dream sequences.
Yeah. Kendall and or Loretta.
Yeah.
On screen or at the very least name checked
or dating.
Or let's get it together. Distance won't stop them.
No.
I think we'll see Dickie, and I think we'll see Dewey.
Yeah. I think we'll see Constable Bob.
I think we'll get one more Constable Bob appearance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, here's the big question: do we think that Raylan winds up with Winona in Florida, or? Does he go down in a hail of gunfire, or does he continue to be a raging cowboy?
Or does he open the Dairy Queen with Ava?
Mm.
I'll bet the last scene
should happen. Manager.
Boy, is Raylan taking Winona and the baby to a Dairy Queen?
Right.
No, I'll bet the last thing is just her opening up the door and he's standing there.
I think
Winona?
last
Winona opens the door and
got it.
And
last Raylan's image of the series, I think it's Raylan at Arlo's grave, and he finally lets himself grieve. That's what I would like. I would like to see him process his stuff, get over some of the anger, and either grieve or like thank him or something.
You know what they're gonna do? He's gonna be at the door. She's gonna open the door. Mm-hmm. He's gonna be there. And he's gonna be all cocky and everything, and he's gonna pull out of his pocket Pop Rocks. And he's just going to kind of...
And he's going to spike the camera and freeze frame roll credits.
Yeah.
I can't see him thanking Arlo, but I can see him trying to put some of that to rest.
Putting it to rest.
I think, I think maybe the course of it, I mean, I hope he doesn't die. I hope they don't send him out in a
blaze
of gunfire.
But you can see
it.
You can see him going off and...
easily.
You could see this thing ending anyway.
Yeah, you could see him either being killed off or...
Which is
Boyd
walking off
exactly.
Yeah. Oh, what if Boyd and Raylan's last like showdown is at a coal mine because they dug coal together?
No, they're going to be in Bolivia, and they're going to be running.
Went to Mexico
this year.
They're going
to fade to black and white.
Come on, coal mine.
Like Butch and Sundance.
Is there no poetry in you? Come on,
sure.
Coal mine.
No, actually, Raylan goes over to Boyd's side, and they set up this sting.
No.
Oh.
Someone's got to die because you'll never leave Harlan alive. Someone's going to die.
Absolutely,
one of the two.
Yep.
Who is it?
I think it's Boyd.
It's either Boyd or both of them.
Boyd's been on borrowed time since the pilot.
That's true.
He should have been dead.
That's right.
Ava kills them both. Then she knocks on the door. Winona opens the door.
That's a bigger question. Will Ava survive?
Yeah, that's a good question.
That is a very good question. I'd like to think Ava kills them both and she sits down to that fried chicken dinner she made for Raylan and the
pilot. Never got to eat.
Exactly.
Oh, that's going to taste nasty, though.
Or some combination of one of the three of Art, Tim, and Rachel. Do they all three make it?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I'm going to say...
I think Rachel makes it.
I'm going to say Rachel and Tim make it.
Yeah, I do, too. I don't think...
I think it depends on the mileage you get out of one of their deaths. I know, and I could totally see them setting up Tim.
But that's why I think Art dies, because he's the father figure.
Yeah.
And that was really, really missed. The first time that they're meeting Tim, Raylan, and Rachel, it really did feel like, hey, shouldn't there be a parent here?
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you can see Rachel stepping up into that.
So it'll be nice to see that more.
And then we all agree, when Duffy's gone.
He's gone.
He's going to die. In some great, hilarious,
he's a survivor.
Eyebrow-raising way.
And so really, this is the final season. Is just how you stack the dominoes to see who's going to go down first and in what way.
Yeah, totally.
Right. Well, and, obviously there will be blood baths.
Yeah.
But with... they can kill as many of the central characters as they want.
Yeah, because
Because we got nowhere to go after this. But you have to be really careful with that because
they'll bring some other people in first. They'll kill them off, and so we can hang on to the central figures longer.
Yeah.
I think Jimmy's brother's going to go down there and start working.
Well, Carl's still around. He's going to get killed.
Carl's the other the guy that got tortured and said the sex thing and all that stuff this year. Mm-hmm.
Also a Pop Rock guy.
Cyrus.
What was the bartender's name? Oh, Caleb.
This is the worst job in the world.
I was there on the day that they were doing the scene where he's tied up on the ground and Raylan and Miller come in and they ask him a thing and then they leave and he starts just squirming around.
Yeah.
The whole crew was laughing so hard. They were just like, just do another one. Just keep going. Just do whatever you want. And he was so great.
That's awesome.
What the hell kind of place is this?
We want to talk a little bit more about specifically what Jesse's up to and what's going on. So is there anything else we want to wrap up about this season? Because I'd like to move on to that. Great.
No. Let's talk about Jesse.
Let's talk about what else you're doing. You got Star-Crossed. We have a movie that you... tell us about that.
Well, the movie's called The Guest. It's just played at Sundance. Adam Wingard directed it. It stars... Dan Stevens, who was on Downton Abbey for a long time.
Absolutely.
It's a
Matthew.
Played Matthew. It's a really fun movie. It's a great movie.
Comedy? What is it?
No, it's Adam Wingard just did Your Next, which was the horror
film. Oh yeah, this is the one where he's like he's an assassin or something.
He comes back. He comes back from the military from a war into a family that had lost a son there, mm-hmm. and he introduces himself as the son, one of the son's fellow soldiers, and he said that I made a promise to your son that I would come in and take care of his family, and so they bring him into the house, and then he's not as nice as he seems to be. Adam Wingard's one of the mumblecore guys, but they do a lot of the sort of thriller, psychological thriller kind of things. Mm-hmm. And so this falls in line with that, and it's a great film.
Great.
And then Star-Crossed.
It was at Sundance, right?
It was at Sundance.
Well received. Everybody loved it.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
People loved it. They're all about it.
Kudos.
And then Star-Crossed is just pretty much just like Justified.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah, it's great. It's
so you die in that one too?
It's coming. It's alien, epic mm-hmm. alien high school teen romance.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just like Justified.
Yeah,
just like
Justified. Yeah.
So it's very easy to transition between the two.
Yeah. Totally different vibe. The sets run differently. And
totally different vibe. Well, mm-hmm. yeah. I mean, first of all, it's season one, and Justified, at this point is an oiled machine, exactly. And you see that on a lot of season ones. Not that it's not a critique of it. It's just like everybody's trying to figure each other out. We shot in New Orleans. That was, a lot of fun.
Yeah, okay.
to get...
How was your downtime?
It was not very down. there was, you'd go to set, and it'd be like 5 in the morning. And people are still partying. Mm-hmm. People are, like, hammered outside your hotel.
Wow.
Yelling at you. Wow. And you're like, I'm going to work, man. Like, it's Tuesday. What are you doing? And that's just the way it is.
They're like, I got 4 hours before I got to sober up.
And then the worst thing is the food down there. It's wonderful food mm-hmm. and it's booze all the time. But you're on CW, so at any moment they're going to ask you to take your shirt off. you go out and you try to eat healthy and you'd be like, the grilled fish. And they're like, yeah, sure. And there's like a pound of butter mm-hmm. on it and there's, like
beignets,
a bunch of bacon and served in a donut.
And delicious.
It's delicious. I mean, it is wonderful. If I had to gain weight for a role, that'd be the place to go.
So when does the show air? It airs on Mondays?
Monday nights, mm-hmm. 8 o'clock. CW.
Monday nights at 8 o'clock. Are you still shooting that right
now? No, we actually shot all of them before the first one even aired.
So what are you doing with your off time?
Oh, man.
Eating bacon and donuts.
There was a lot of it's season one of that show, so there's a lot of promotion that goes involved. And, I started as such a lackey on Justified, they didn't care what I did about promoting the show or anything like that. They don't care, mm-hmm. All that stuff. I have a bigger part on that show, so more responsibility.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And you got to promote the show, which, of course, I'm happy to do. But then, it's like any actor. You're trying to find the next job.
Okay.
Now, you had mentioned on CW they're going to probably want to take your shirt off.
Yes.
Does that happen often in this show?
And
do you want to do it right now?
Tamara.
That was really a question for Tamara.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
It's funny the way that they just like, and the guys are the worst. I love all my castmates to death, mm-hmm. but the girls are like, yeah, sure, whatever. And the guys are like, well, when are we doing it? They're like, I don't know. Are you sure it's a good idea? And they're like doing sit-ups in the corner by themselves, push-ups, trying to get them to look jacked up. Oh, when I did 42, and we had a shower scene in that, and it was embarrassing. I was like, look at you guys. This is embarrassing. Everyone was doing push-ups and pull-ups in between takes waiting for the scene. I was like, give me a break. What is the matter with you?
That's great.
But hey, it's guys.
Right. Absolutely.
There's some good insight, Skinny, for you.
There it is. Skinny, indeed.
All right. Mm-hmm. So what else? We have any questions? Anybody? Anything else you want to talk about?
I'm good.
We're good?
I think we've covered
all right.
It
well, we certainly have covered
We've gone way over time. The clock stopped.
Well,
that's
this time we got a chance.
Okay, we broke the clock.
We did. We broke the clock.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for being able to be
thank
here.
You. Absolutely.
We appreciate it so much. Jacob was here last week. Unfortunately, he came in late, so we didn't get to spend a lot of time with him. But
you didn't miss anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, we'll let him know.
Come back. I don't know. I thought the deer in headlights was kind of fun to watch.
Jacob, do you ever see Jacob does improv? And I saw him do improv.
I've done improv, which that's how
really?
I met him.
Oh,
he
man.
Came and did my improv show, and I was like, dude, do you know that I do this podcast? And he's like, what's a podcast?
Yeah, exactly. You do it at UCB?
I've taken UCB. Okay. I host an indie show on Friday nights.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I just saw him do ASCAD at UCB.
Oh, man.
And it was like, it's the, I'll just tell it real quick. These celebrities come out and they do a monologue and then they do improv based on the monologue and then he comes out and does another. Like, it's just tell a story, right? It's just like, here's a suggestion, tell a story. And so it'd be like, Carrot. And then Jacob is all of a sudden talking about like an acid trip where he like spent the night in the moose's corpse. And I'm like, Jake, stop admitting this. Like, you realize this is a room
is
full of
forum.
People.
This that's, is the
yeah,
forum
that's,
for it.
That's Jacob.
It is.
Love the guy.
Cool.
It
is.
We didn't get that Jacob last week.
No, we didn't. He went,
No,
oh, maybe I shouldn't.
In deference to him, no, it wasn't that at all. It's just that unfortunately because he wasn't able to get here because of traffic, et cetera. Yeah. So he came right in the middle of this.
I think it's a very different
experience. Had we had more time, I think we could have gotten to that.
He didn't want to start out with acid trap.
No,
right.
Right. So, and had we had the chance.
That's not a good way to introduce yourself to a room of people.
No, but we didn't want to put him on the spot either. So it was our choice to allow him to ease into it.
And, yeah. We had a great time with him. Though.
He was. It was terrific. And again, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.
All right. And we so appreciate your insight.
Last chance to take your shirt off if you want
to. If you don't give me time and this is the, are you sure?
You want to
do
push ups
or it after. No.
I'm tired of asking these guys.
Before we go, let everybody know where they can find you.
Where they can find me?
On Twitter.
Oh, yeah. That whole
social media thing.
I'm basically Amish with this kind of crap. It's at Jesse Lucan. It's just my name. J-E-S-S-E-L-U-K-E-N.
And it's been a pleasure seeing you on the show, and it's certainly a pleasure having you here. Thank you again.
Thank you all very
much. Where can I find you, Matt?
All right. You can find me on Twitter at Matt Lieberman, MattLieberman. You can also find all my video content on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/MatthewDLieberman. It's got all of my AfterBuzz source-fed videos and sketches and shows coming up in the spring. I got Mad Men coming back, Orphan Black on BBC America, Playing House on USA. It's a great comedy premiering at the end of the month. Lots of things coming this summer, so stay tuned.
Wow. Bottomly Steven at Twitter, and check out bandcamp.com. The band is Bears and You. Check it out, please.
I made cupcakes. Yeah. I'm at Tamara Berg on Twitter, TamaraBerg. And my website is tamaracentral.com. Check it out.
Hey, do you happen to savor a champagne bottle?
I know how to savor champagne bottles. Want to know what it's like? Check out my website.
I have the same Twitter account as Jacob Pitts.
Yes, you do.
Tune in for next season here
it's
at
been an amazing season.
Justified Season 6. Thanks for listening. We'll
Thanks,
talk
everybody.
To you next time.
Bye.
To other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
Alligator, herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.